This vod is. I thought the idea. This is gonna be called a tshuva vod. I'm not sure I ever did this before. You know, I've been giving vod for a while. But I thought of a nice idea. In the next 20 minutes or so, we're gonna do tshuva. Everyone individually, we're gonna do tshuva. Much right here, right now.
That's it. 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, that's an introduction. Now. Really, I want to begin like this. You know, in the world today, a lot of people have figured out good shortcuts to tshuva, so they think. For example, some of the chevra here, I'm sure, you know, when you went to Tzfas, you made sure to go to Arizal's mikvah, right? Going to the Arizal's mikvah in the frigid cold. Right? Yeah, well, you went in the summer, buddy. But, right, when you get to Eretz Yisrael and you go to the, right? There wasn't a mark, what's it, dinner, right? But to go to the Arizal's mikveh, it's like, shh. Right, you freeze, literally. Okay. And the line is that you won't die without doing tshuva. There's a certain mesorah that if you go to the Arizal's mikveh, it's a haftacha, you won't die without doing tshuva. Anyway, I came across an amazing story that years ago, someone went to Eretz Yisrael. This is going back like 60 years ago. So it was quite unique for people, especially Bachram and Yeshiva, to be able to make it to Eretz Yisrael. So one guy in the beginning of Elzman, you know, came back to Yeshiva. This is based on Talmud in Bensonhurst back in the day. And he made it in the summer to Eretz Yisrael. Yamalch was there. And like the whole, everyone is greeting him, Shalom Aleichem, how's Eretz Yisrael? He was like the talk of the yeshiva. And everyone was hawking about his Eretz Yisrael and this. And he was just telling him, oh, he went to the Arizal's mikvah. So Berlei Malin, the Rosh Yeshiva, was sitting there. And he heard him say over the line, that there's a haftacha, that you won't die without doing tshuva. So without skipping a beat, Berlei Malin said, I guess you're going to live forever. As I saw, Lev Malin was a straight Yosher Dika Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva. You know, you think you got a shortcut to tshuva because you went to the Arizal's mikvah, right? You're not going to die without doing tshuva. Zakhar Lev Malin, you're not going to die without doing tshuva. I guess you're just going to live forever. Obviously, doing tshuva is not so simple. And I wouldn't say there's no shortcuts. I'm about to show there are. But the nekuda is, if you have a shortcut, you better hope that it's, you know, that it's sanctified. It's something that you have haskama, that it's legit. You know, just that there's some mimer that supposedly, you know, the Arizal said, that doesn't necessarily fly. Right, we know in the kashas world. Oh yeah, there's some kashas organization watching this. Really, like, is there real hashkacha here? So too with Kal Vachomer for Avodas Hashem. You know, you can't just rely on, you know, shmuas. And like, I heard this is okay. You know, probably of all the areas that the person needs a rebbe, you think you need a rebbe just to learn pshat and tosas? You need a rebbe to understand a derech Hashem, a derech avoda, a derech hachayim. Of what to do, you know, with tshuva. And, you know, we're very lucky over here in Yeshiva. You know, Rabbi Luban is definitely one of the gedolim in this area, no question about it. And to have any type of shimush, of chinuch, from someone like Rabbi Luban, somebody like Rabbi Neumann, you see, you know, it was painful for him to watch davening yesterday. You know, it was a different davening. Like, what you guys experienced, you know, the having day one Rabbi Neumann Davin, day two, he wasn't up to it, and having Rabbi Mendel Davin. I enjoyed Rabbi Mendel's davening to the moon, but I saw day two, something was missing. It wasn't the same. And, you know, you're doing with people that are quite Bali Madrega, and to learn, you know, that's definitely one type of shimush. I gotta tell a story. I found this in Rav Shlomo Hoffman Sefer. It's a famous story. In fact, my friend Rabbi Moskowitz mentioned it this morning at davening. But I want to give backdrop to it. He spoke during davening this morning. basically, Rav Shlomo Hoffman was a bacher learning in Chevron. One day he's walking the hallways during Aser Simei Tshuva, and it looks like he has a frown on his face. So Chaskel Sarna, right, the Chaskel Sarna, Shiva of Chevron, sees him and says, "Why aren't you smiling?" So he says, "Rabbi, it's Aser Simei Tshuva, Osek and Tshuva." Right, you know the story? So I'll add the Haaretz. So he says, "You got wrong pshat. You think the halacha is like the Rambam, that the Rambam paskens that the only way to do tshuva shleima, is mamash be in the same exact situation that you were years before where you did the avera, and yodea talumos HaKadosh Baruch Hu could testify about you that you're not going to do the avera. So then that's considered tshuva shleima." That's pretty rough. That's a pretty high madrega, that I'm going to be in the same exact situation, same exact nisyonos, and I'll be able to overcome it. Years ago, I was in that situation. I did that. Now I'm going to do that. That's not so simple. He says, we don't paskin like that. We paskin like Rabbeinu Yonah, which I'm going to explain to you in a moment what he holds. But to me, like, that's so eye-opening. And Shlomo Hoffman basically says, if this interaction didn't happen, like, I don't know what it would be. He would have, you know, look, he yeshiva bachrim, you know, the danger of yeshiva bachrim is, right, we know how to learn, we read, we learn svarim, you hear shirim. Oh, look, I heard a shir, it's beferish Rambam, this is what you need to do for tshuva. Chasko sarna told him, no, we don't paskin that way. That's the milah of having a Rebbe, having chinuch in tshuva. Don't just read Rambams. Don't just hear some shir in Torah anytime. Who says we go like that? Right? Oh, I'm going to get the Olam Haba. I'm going to the mikvah. Arizal's mikvah. Or play balin. Right? You're going to live for everybody. They ain't going to do tshuva. You need chinuch in what the right path is. Especially if the path is going to be a kula. Okay, who sanctions such a thing? Who says, I don't go like the Rambam? I don't know, Pasha, don't we pass like the Rambam? Svardim go like the Rambam, right? Rambam. Here's an example. No, we don't. We don't go like the Rambam, right? We go like Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, what's Rabbeinu Yonah's? What's Rabbeinu Yonah's? Right, now Rabbeinu Yonah says, right, these days are days that of course they're intense. There's only X amount of, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but at the same time, there's a certain manner on how we go about it. You know, I guess if I look around yeshiva and I see people not smiling, you know, then I'll, you know, we should stop them. We should tell them this Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, what's the Chilk Rabbeinu Yonah versus the Rambam? So Rabbeinu Yonah says basically you have to be misyatzev al derech hatov. You have to be standing on the right direction. You have to be osik b'tshuva. And the famous mashal, which Reb Chaskel Sarna got from his Rebbe, the Alter Slobodka, who got it from his Rebbe, Rebbe Sol Salanter, from the Sorah. So it's legit. What's a famous story? So I'll do, you know, Rabbi Moscow has a pretty good version. But he started by Baltimore. Okay. So, I'll start like this. Right? No, you have some, I'll pick on wits today. Right? You have some friend of yours, he grew up in Milwaukee, never went, you know, stayed in wits for summer's month, never went anywhere else. All of a sudden, okay, you know, he comes to Queens, and they tell him, you know, he wants to, he's in New York, he sees Queens for the first time, amazing. He says, okay, but what about going to, I've never been to Lakewood in my life. Like, imagine there's such a Jew, hasn't been to now the center of Torah in America, hasn't seen Lakewood, right? You can live in Passaic your whole life, you don't go to, imagine such a thing. So he wants to go to Lakewood. Fine. So Okay, it gets directions. So you basically, you hop on the road, right? I guess coming from Queens, if you got the clear directions, it would be okay. You have to go to Brooklyn. From Brooklyn, you got to go to Staten Island. Staten Island, you got to go out of Bridge and basically make your way to Lakewood. So he doesn't, you know of these things. So he's jumping the highway. He told him it should take like 3 hours. Okay. So the Woods guy goes, he's going to make a schmack of El Chavez in Lakewood. Can't wait to go. Anyway, he goes and driving and driving and driving and driving. And next thing he knows, he's in Baltimore. He's in Baltimore. Right? He's in Queens. End up in Baltimore. Baltimore is south of Queens. Lakewood, okay, is north. He went in the wrong direction. So it only took a while till he ended up in Baltimore, and he was like, is this Lakewood? And he goes, no, it's wrong. It's like, no, this ain't Lakewood. No, yeah, I thought it was, I see a lot of people learning. It's not so much bigger than Queens. Maybe Queens is bigger. You're not in Lakewood. You're in Baltimore. They might wear white shirts, but that doesn't mean anything. So the mashal that Rissol Salanter said, gave to the altar, was when was he closer to Lakewood? You'd say seemingly when he's in Queens, before he made the wrong turn going south instead of north. But it's not shot. Because at that point he was going down. He was going in the wrong direction. He could have been miles and miles and miles away in Baltimore, but the point that he realized he's in Baltimore and he went the wrong way, he's not in Lakewood, at that point in time, when he's miles and miles away, that's when he's in the right direction. He's going in the right direction. It doesn't matter how far away you are, but when you know, okay, this is the right way to go. So too with Shuva. When a person, you can be very close, but if right now your trajectory, your slope in yeshiva is you're going downward, this is not an area which you're looking to go up on, to go improve on, so then you're away from tshuva. You're away from the right path, even though, you know, guy looks like, you know, to paint one other picture. You could have, and unfortunately this is very, very true, you could have guys today who are in regular yeshivas and they look like every other guy. They're literally far, far away from tshuva because the way their life is going to take them, their choices might end up that they're going to be quite away. You know, they could end up, you know, in Nevee, in Waterbury, I don't know, some spot, Mo, right, from the Matzav guys, right, or the people from Lakewood, right? They could end up in some spot. They are so close to tshuva because right now they're going up in the right direction. Be far away, but it all matters where your direction is. So Hoffman says that Rav Chaskel is medayik many, many things. All that you need in that Rabbeinu Yonah. It's medayik, so I'll show you where in the Rabbeinu Yonah. I think it's, well, it's in the beginning, it was Beis. But it says in the, I tried to find the Shulchan Hoffman on the shelf, couldn't get it. But as long as a person is osik in wanting to be better, so that means you didn't turn the car around completely, you barely moved in the right direction, but your mindset is, if I want to be in that direction, that's the right direction to go to, you're ready to get it, osik tshuva.
Is it just wanting, or is it, do you have to actually do something to like attack?
Right. From Rabbi Yisrael also had a idea that Shlomo Hoffman brings there. As long as you're within working on it, doesn't mean you accomplish anything.
So but how does that make
your direction? This is not even Rabbi Luban's Kabbalah. I made a Kabbalah, now I have a Kabbalah, and I got the scar. No. No, not even up to Kabbalahs, right? Because
what is it?
Can we say it again?
Life is 120 years, and Bez Hashem, we have to ask Hashem. Look, Hashem, I need Chayim to perfect myself. I don't even need a Kabbalah. All right, from the way that Shlomo Hoffman said it, even without a Kabbalah, just an Asik. If you're Osik in Tshuva, It's a chiddush, yeah.
What does it mean,
osik? If you're osik in tshuva.
Just thinking?
Yeah. That, right? And that's what we're about to do in a moment. Now, is if you're osik in tshuva, you think of ways, okay, what is the right path? Think of the mashal that Rabbi Sorrell gave. The guy's driving the car in the wrong direction. He's trying to go north. He ended up going south. At what point does his tshuva begin?
Maybe osik means
when he realizes he's going in the wrong direction and wants to go in the right direction. He's not makabel. There's no, like,
what's
but
the
just,
whole tshuva going
to? You're recognizing the whole shari tshuva. Those are things to perfect yourself and get better and better and more madrigas. But the be'etzem, the level, the most basic level of being osik b'tshuva is just recognizing, okay, I'm going the wrong direction in this area. I want to get better.
And the shari tshuva is the path?
Yes. Now, what does that mean? So, practically, I think there's two steps. Okay? Step number one, that's probably the trickier step. Go to any AA meeting, right? They say, what's the most important? It's the first step is to acknowledge you have a problem. And most of the time, we don't. You know, the Rashiva was very big into the concept of pushing your buttons, Chashban and Nefesh. Right? You know, it's funny, I read through this Shlomo Hoffman Sefer. He has different terminology for a lot of things, but it's like, oh no, that's exactly what we always told in yeshiva. He calls it bikros atzma. Well, it means checking yourself. You know, he has one story there where he's walking in the hall in Chevron, and Mayor Chadash sees him. He's like, I don't recognize you. You started growing a beard. He starts talking, why are you growing a beard? Right? These things actually went on in yeshivas that had rebbeim, that, you know, the rebbeim chepper them, hock them. He's growing a beard. How come he's growing a beard? So he gave one reason. He says, no. He gave a second reason. He says, no. Third reason, no. Every reason he gave to explain his beard to Rav Meir Chadash just slugged him up. No, it's not the reason. Not the reason. Not the reason. He said, you know, Grada, when you have a beard, you know, you don't shave, like, you know. It's easier, like you don't have to go through the annoying process of shaving. He's like, yes, that's the reason why you're doing it. Right? Now there he was lucky that he had a Rebbe to go through his points with him. Why do you do things? It is this. You know, he slugged it up, but that's the reason. You know, he was able to figure it out. But really, the Rashiva says we ourselves could do that with ourselves. A lot of times we do things, we check ourselves, okay, you know. Why do I do that? Why? I'm about to start thinking. I'm about to do tshuva. Hold on. But I have thoughts of ideas. But really, this whole thing is a person's able to make a cheshbon nefesh, to ask yourself, why do I do it? Today, someone was talking to me. Right? Someone was telling me about, you know, he realized that part of the reason he volunteered to do this mitzvah was probably some shalol l'shma gaiva type idea, right? The reason why he wanted to do this mitzvah was, okay, you know, there's some gaiva involved. And that's why, you know, he wondered, all the mitzvahs he didn't have a taiva for. But this mitzvah, you know, he enjoyed it. You know, and he looked twice if someone else got the mitzvah to do it, right? You know, now Shiloh's not here. He's the perfect example. He does it lashma. But, you know, you could go around collecting tzedakah every day. Right? Oh, I did the mitzvah. I want to help out tzedakah. No, you want to be the guy to go around with the pushka. You want the guy in yeshiva for sure. There probably was some guy involved because the guy would go around with the pushka every day. The yeshiva would, like, kibbutz with him every single day. It was funny. And the guy would come to the yeshiva. The yeshiva had, you know, always smile to him and would say something to him. Like, everybody was dying to do that job. Like, you get to see the yeshiva every day, say something to you. The guy, I think, was doing it was a nice lashma that. But a lot of times we do things, really, if we really check ourselves why we're doing it. I'm not saying, therefore, it's a reason not to do it. Many times, even with gaiva and taiva and whatever else you want, you should still do mitzvahs. But at least know what, push your buttons, what's motivating you.
How are
you
supposed to know if you just give 18 reasons? Should we ask yourself?
Right, so I assume the case with Rav Shlomo Hoffman and Rav Meir Chadash, that was a little deeper, and Rav Meir Chadash, you know, had to go through, you know, tenei lomars to slog up to get to the truth. So there are things which are deep-seated in us, which probably do take a while for us to really push the right button and realize why what motivates us. But there are many other things which are more on the surface. We just never gave time to think about it. And now that I think about it, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll give one example, okay? Okay. Not chas v'shalom that no get anybody here. But let's say rap music, okay? People, right? People are into certain, you know? Okay. Now, look, there are many things that a person, it's, as was mentioned before, it's a 120-year battle. So it's going to take a while for me to change myself. But at least know, okay, what is the right direction? The right direction is in the stomach to get off that at some point. Okay? Once you have that idea, that's already, you begether osir tshuva. You're osir tshuva. Everyone could think about weaknesses that they have. And that's why we're doing tshuva right here. Think of a weakness you have. Honest, this area, okay. That weakness, is that the ideal? No, okay. Long term, do I want to be in the, you know, doing the right thing? Yeah, I do. But it's gonna be very hard, I really enjoy it. There's no alternative, okay. But I can weed myself off, maybe like, you know, a little bit, once a month, maybe once a week, few minutes, Lashon Hara, right? How do you stop Lashon Hara? You could have a Machsim Lafi, just like one time period, once a week. Everyone would agree when it comes to Lashon Hara that just like having in mind not to speak Lashon Hara once a week during breakfast. Is that together also true? For sure. So what about these other areas? They're not? If you just take any area that we think there's a weakness and we have an idea, again, not even a Kabbalah, but like we think about the idea that, you know, okay, maybe, you know, I want to get there eventually. And, you know, all you're trying to do is just change your direction in life. But if you think about that right now, that's already called tshuva. You're osu b'tshuva. Because the way life works, as Masil Sharm says, is we just go in habits. We never think. We just do what we do. We do what we do this year because we did it last year. We do what we do when we're home because that's what we did the first 18 years of my life when I was home. We behave and act a certain way. It's easier for us to learn and do mitzvahs and daven and this and that when we're in yeshiva. But when Zmanim comes, we're home, different environment, I'm a different person. Okay. But if we just put the brakes, literally, on the car, and okay, wait. But is that the ideal? What's the ideal? Okay, so this is the path I want to go. We could be very, very far away. It could take a long time to get there. No one's expecting to change overnight. But just the idea that I'm going right now on the wrong path, and I want to be better, that already is tshuva. Pretty cool, no? So if everybody just sits here for the next 30 seconds, thinks about something. I'm going to actually have 30 seconds of silence on our recording, right? We do more, but my shtick is if I just get you to do it for 30 seconds, that's pretty cool. Okay? So I'm going to think about my own problems. I'll come back to you in hopefully 30 seconds. Okay, we did tshuva. That's it. I mean, you could do more.